This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
One out of three. Never felt so good.
Oh, brother.
One out of three.
I knew it was coming.
Never felt so good. The day started out as probably the harshest birthday reception one could get. Jose Altuve, celebrating 31 years of life in front of a bunch of people who hated him, he heard the chants. Here is how Jose Altuve, when the game started yesterday, was welcomed by the Yankee faithful.
End is 8 per hour.
What a difference 12 hours would make. It's the spot that I saw you guys last night with the gloom. Boom up there. Boy, I tell you.
Gerrit Cole on the mound. F your birthday was what those mean New Yorkers were chanting. You could tell Jose Altuve was a little shook up. He was a little bit shook up. Led off the game with a single the second straight day. We'll tell you how he ended the day shortly. But first, let's hear from Jose, the birthday boy, about those mean-ass Yankee fans.
Jose, was it difficult for you to stay focused these last three games with the reception that you guys received?
I was trying to get to do my best to play the game. Yeah, you don't like to get booed by anybody, but, you know, that's part of the game. And like I said, I was just going out there and trying to do my best to help my team to win.
All right. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
Also part of the game, hitting dingers.
Darn right it is.
Hitting dingers. Yordan Alvarez, two homers yesterday off of Gerrit Cole. Let's hear the play-by-play of those, and let's go Yankee style. Let's hear what it sounded like on the Yes Network with Michael Kay when Yordan Alvarez said, four bags, Mr. Bellhop. Not once, but twice. He packs heavy.
Drilled deep to right field. It is a tie game. That one goes into the second deck. High fly ball. Deep center. Going back, Hicks. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya. Into Monument Park. Second home run for Alvarez, and it's 3-2 Yankees.
And you heard Gerrit Cole with the GD. That was nice of Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
But late in the game with the Astros trailing by one, two men on, the F your birthday guy came to the plate, and he said, F your pitch, bitch.
Altuve drives one deep to left field, all the way back, gone! Jose Altuve on his 31st birthday hits a home run that probably feels as good as any in his career, a three-run shot, and gives the Astros a 5-3 lead.
I told you yesterday, I'll stand by it today. I would have rather had Jose Altuve leaving Yankee Stadium after hitting the game-winning home run with both middle fingers up in the air.
Did you say that?
Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, you ain't say all that.
Hitting two home runs off of Gerrit Cole, leaving, coming back home to welcome George Springer back. Give me the way that series ended, overtaking the first two out of three.
I wish Figgy would have marked that.
That, my friends, is a loss win.
Because you would have looked really, really smart if he had marked that and you actually said that. Look, man, you were either the first or second person I thought of when he hit that home run. My other one was my son, my middle son, just an enormous Astros fan, and he had talked about if he hits a home. He actually did say if he hits a home run, it might change everything. And by that, I think he was actually onto something. You know, you heard Jose Altuve talking about, yeah, I heard the boos. Yeah, nobody likes to get booed. And we had talked about how he might be getting bothered by it, and we, you know, the hope that he doesn't, you know, spiral in the wrong direction after this. Well, he won't, because he answered the way you should.
All right, so I read a story, and look, we believe the Astros deserve all the smoke. They deserve to be called every name in the book. They deserve all the smoke they're getting. But something went viral yesterday, and it had me initially, before I actually read, just thinking, man, the Astros are soft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't these aren't the coconuts that I've come to expect from this team. So I kind of followed it, and there was a report, and I say report loosely, but this was courtesy of 570 LA Sports, AM 570 LA Sports. A guy by the name of Matthew Demecki, however. I don't need to pronounce his name right, because I don't really think he's a real journalist or anything like that. But he put up a blog post with iHeartRadio, and it the headline said, Astros have reportedly filed a complaint to MLB about fans taunting. That was the report. And I was like, I was sitting there and I was thinking.
Bro, what are you talking about?
I am going to hammer the Astros tomorrow when I get on the air at 10 a.m.
Walking out of the studio, I looked at my phone. I'm like, oh, man, it happens now.
I
would have torched them.
I would have killed them. There would have been a lot of people mad at us. So, but I decided that I was actually going to read and just see what was going on here. So that's the headline. Astros have reportedly filed a complaint to the MLB about fans taunting. Here's the post, and I'm reading it. Fans who thought they were going to let the Astros hear it in 2020 had to wait until 2021 to let them hear it. The fans are not holding back this year. The Houston Astros visited Yankee Stadium to face the New York Yankees for the first time since the discovery of the team cheating during the 2017 season. The Yankees won over the Astros 7-3 yesterday, and the New York Yankees fans spent a lot of time taunting the Astros with several not suitable for work chant signs and costumes. Okay. Here's the final paragraph. It's a three-paragraph post. However, a report by Sports Illustrated's Stephanie Apstein detailed how a Yankees fan was asked to remove his costume after a security guard informed him the Astros complained about fans taunting them. So changes were made by the Yankees after Major League Baseball contacted them. According to Stephanie Apstein, officials from the Astros in the commissioner's office said they were unaware of such complaint. So I read this and I said, okay, he's saying that Stephanie Apstein of Sports Illustrated reported this. So she works for Sports Illustrated. I figured that she did some reporting, and I went to her original post. And this is what led to the headline, Astros file complaint to MLB. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Just listen to this for a second. This is the article from Stephanie Apstein. And according to my man out there, this is the report, Matthew Demecki, or whatever. Here's the report. Okay, you ready for this?
I am ready for it.
All right. The title of the column is "Heroes of the People: Yankees Fans Taunt Astros in the First Trip to the Bronx Since the Scandal." Okay, for about 45 minutes, David Pobb's plan worked perfectly. Weeks earlier, he'd spent $85 on an Oscar the Grouch costume from Amazon.com. A few days beforehand, he'd visited Yankee Stadium to confirm that he would be allowed to wear it on Tuesday for the Astros' first visit to the Bronx since the world learned they had cheated en route to their 2017 title. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Houston players stole signs with an illegal camera, then transmitted them to hitters with the trash can, blah, blah, blah. We know all that. When he arrived, wearing the costume and carrying the sign reading, "You ain't stealing this costume, Trastros," he drew laughs and cameras. Unfortunately, he also drew attention from security. Quote, "Our policy changed," he said the guard told him. Tob said the guard added that the Astros had complained to MLB about fans in other cities, and MLB had told the Yankees to tighten their rules. Officials from the Astros and the commissioner's office said they were unaware of any such complaints or directives. That's what this report is centered on.
Mm-hmm.
A fan that wore an Oscar the Grouch costume to a game and put in so much effort said that security guards said the Astros had complained. So this is a secondhand account.
A third, at least.
From a fan about a security guard, and this is a fan who wore an Oscar the Grouch costume to heckle the Astros and had it laid out. This is what this guy is saying the plan is. There is nothing else here that even hints that the Astros did this. Like there is no proof at all that the Astros, which goes back to the original report, Astros have reportedly filed a complaint to the MLB about fans taunting. That's what this jamoke, Matthew DeMicki, got from that story by her. She's probably embarrassed that he even posted this.
Absolutely. I mean, I would be. That's the classic, you know, we've talked about
it on your computer.
Exactly.
I mean, if the Astros did that, they deserve to be hammered, but there is nothing there that tells you that.
It's the security guard taking his word from the Oscar the Grouch guy, taking his word to a guy who read that and misinterpreted. It's a game of telephone tag that really made the Astros and Major League Baseball look bad for no apparent reason. Third hand at best. But I saw the headline when I was walking out the studio. I went, oh, this is awful. Just makes it, well, they didn't do that. It was ridiculous.
It's Daryl Morey-like. It's the whiny-ass Daryl Morey type thing, report to the referees and stuff. Like, I would have, just like I used to criticize Daryl Morey for some of the whining that he used to do, I would have had to hammer the Astros. But, I mean, this is just an example, and I think it's very dangerous that, you know, and I mean, you can look at it in any walk of life, but, man, not everybody has taken the time, especially with what's going on with the Astros, to read stories and actually get to the bottom of things. That headline right there is enough, with all the smoke the Astros have, for people to think that the Astros are the biggest bitches in baseball and in sports. So I don't know. I mean, look, there's actually a media theme today of this show, because one of the best NFL reporters was cross-examined by one of the best broadcasters of all time. And it leads to a lot of questions about Deshaun Watson's company and the standoff. Yeah. And what fans should expect. So there is a theme in the first hour of the show here on Friday. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. But throwing out headlines like this, I don't. That's just that. That's a little bit ridiculous.
Well, and talk about taking liberties with something. He put in there filed, as if the, you know, and that, he took a liberty with the story in general, and then said that the Astros filed, as if they took out their old Corona typewriter, their old Royal typewriter, and started clicking this form and sent it to Major League Baseball and filed this complaint. It was a lot of liberties he took.
Very, very, very reckless. But I mean, that's the world we live in. But it's not our job to just read headlines. We obviously got to get to the bottom of it. And it doesn't. I mean, I hope that the Astros didn't file a report because the guy was wearing an Oscar the Grouch costume.
Yeah.
And who knows what this guy's doing? Who knows what he's saying?
Well, security guard just said, well, Major League, I mean, he could just be trying to use the whole thing.
Get it out, yeah.
And this guy turns it into filing with Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
The hell?
It was an interesting play. I mean, you can tell baseball fans, baseball writers don't like the Astros, and quite honestly, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
They were very smug. They were very arrogant when they were playing well. Jeff Luhnow rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and they cheated. So, yeah. I mean, they deserve a lot of the smoke, but file the report.
Get it right.
Major League Baseball?
Get it
right. I mean, come on, man. You got to retract that. But that's just the life that you're dealing. That's what happens when low-level Los Angeles blogger combines with overzealous New York writer. But the Astros take one of three. It is not a loser mentality. It's a long baseball season. I would have rather had that thrill yesterday than winning the first two. That's just me. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Coming up, it is Mother's Day this weekend, and sometimes sports combined with the ones they love lead to a lot of positive and great emotion. The OG John Lopez has an awesome thing going with loopholes that I think you'll like. We'll discuss next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Mother's Day is on Sunday. It's a different Mother's Day for John Lopez, to say the least. Lost his mother last year lived a great life. John, you did a good job speaking at the funeral. But, you know, when this does happen, my mom is going through the same thing as you. When you have those moments the first time without your mother, that's really when it hits close to home. And often sports and family, the combination of the two can just lead to a greater appreciation of the ones you already love and sports as well. And that's really what you're doing right now with the Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one.
Yeah. And, I, you know, not to make this about me, because I want, what I'm doing is I've got four Astros tickets for Mother's Day. And they're mine. This isn't a radio thing. And so I put out on Twitter that I wanted that this is the first Mother's Day, as you just said, you know, without my mom. And I know how important it is and how big a role that mothers play oftentimes in this. She likes sports, but she loved baseball. And, you know, my dad worked so much that all my games, my mom would go, not my dad, because he worked so much, and she didn't know how to drive, so she would take the bus to my game sometimes. So, you know, those kinds of things, I put out there. I've got these four tickets. I want to give them to a mom, a deserving mom. And I opened my DMs on Twitter, and the stories are just incredible. This is going to be really, really difficult. I might have to do like a random draw of the top ones, but let me read some of these stories, and it goes to show you how life and sports intersect. I'm just going to go through them real quick. You can react. You can say that you like one, maybe as a contender, etc. Figgy, jump in on this as well. I'll just go through them because I want to get through as many as I can, because they're great stories about what moms mean. So I want to take a deserving mom and three others. I want to send them tickets to go to the game on Mother's Day. All right. This is from Lance. Excuse me. Mom was the one who caught me as I learned pitching, sitting on a bucket in the street. She was a catcher herself in softball. One of the proudest moments I remember was in high school. I went to one of her co-ed softball games. The poor starting third baseman made a few errors, and Mom came in to replace him. The first or second batter shot a ball towards the hole. She dove, nabbed, popped up, and made the throw to first. The umpire stepped up from behind the plate and told everybody on the field, "That's how it's done, boys." These days, my sister and I are both living in Europe. I'm in Barcelona. She's in Germany. And we were legitimate when we legitimately won the World Series. He put that in there. She was the one on the phone at 5 a.m. here celebrating. To this day, we have a secret code to say I love you. It is, "How about them Astros?" That's from Lance. Sean said, "I'd like to nominate my coworker, Jennifer, for the Astros tickets. She's not a mom yet, except her dog, but her sisters and aunts, Elva, Jennifer, were diehard Astros fans. Me and the other gringos from work went to the funeral of her mother recently. We were the only ones in suits, and everyone else had an Astros gear at the funeral." This is from Fern. "My mom worked at a dry cleaner's for more than 40 years. She loved the Astros because that was a way her and her father, my grandfather, would bond together. Both my aunt and cousin passed away due to COVID in January, 2 weeks apart. She's been devastated ever since. It would mean a lot if she got those tickets and could take her sisters and relive those memories." This is Brent. "My mom works 35 hours a week at Ace Hardware at 74 years of age for one reason: so she can buy Christmas gifts every year for her 5 grandkids and 3 grown kids. She's also the sweetest woman you'll ever meet. She deserves this because she works so hard." All right. "My wife and I had our," this is Robert, "my wife and I had our second and third child last year in February, right as the pandemic hit. She's given up so much of herself to raise our twins along with our 6-year-old that loves baseball. It would be an amazing gift. We haven't done anything due to COVID because we have small children. We've been vaccinated and are ready to venture out a little bit." This is a good one here too. "My mother is 61, this is from Fred. "My mother is 61 years old. She's just now retired from umpiring softball and baseball, and she helped me with the game as I'm a second-generation umpire myself. I played a high school baseball game in Channelview, and she was in the stands for the first time in a long time because she was a single mom working 2 jobs. Anyway, our game was about to start, and no umpires showed up. So I asked the coach if they had any issues with my mother umpiring the game. Both coaches agreed.
She always had her gear in her car, so she geared up right before we played and said, "You better be swinging, boy." And by the way, she was not biased toward her boy on the field.
Who was that one?
That was Fred.
Okay.
All right. This is Nate. "My mother should get them because she's really my stepmom, but took me in as her own when I was 8 years old. She raised me with my father to become the man I am today, and I'm still becoming. I'm 19 years old. I would love to send her and my father as an ultimate Mother's Day present. They just don't get out very much. You know how it is." This is Jonathan. "My mother has gone through a lot the past 10 years. Back in 2009, my father took his own life, and she had to raise my brother and I how to be men. She was strong and was the foundation for us. January of 2019, her mother passed due to lung cancer. We were all devastated. She's been in a bad way, and this would be amazing for her." All right. This is a interesting one here. "My ex-wife," this is Joe, "my ex-wife suffered a great loss when I betrayed her trust. My children have suffered the loss of the family that they knew. Their mom has always stayed strong, though, and always done what's right for our children. We adopted them from CPS before I failed them as a father. She deserves all that is good in this world. She remains true to them, and she deserves this."
Jesus,
dude. I know.
What the hell's wrong with you? You're a jerk.
Why?
Because you're gonna disappoint a lot of people here.
But the thing is, these are the stories that we're gonna have to call through.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and power
have to
rank.
Buy a bunch of tickets.
I gotta buy a bunch of tickets.
All of them deserve it.
You want to go to the animal shelter next and power rank the dogs?
Which ones are we gonna leave behind?
Slime ball.
This is Quinn. "My mother passed away 4 months ago, and now I have custody of my 14-year-old sister. I had the same idea of going to an Astros game, but it wasn't in the cards, budget-wise. Maybe next year. She had a little league field in Sagemont, South Belt, named after her. She was president out there for years and the first woman little league president of the organization. I was listening to your show. She deserves this, et cetera, et cetera." How about this one?
I mean, you can make this call. I ain't voting on any of these.
You got to tell me something.
Nah, hell no.
This is Jay. This is Jay. "My mother was a Navy brat, and the family would always root for the nearest National League team. Eventually, Houston became home, and the Astros were the new family team. It was a family sport that my grandfather would take us all to as a family. I bring this up because because when her father passed the following year, we went to the World Series only to get swept by the White Sox. Each game that she watches brings back memories of her father. We became fairly superstitious about this. At this point, my mother and I always text during games, as I no longer live in Houston. I understand this is heavy-handed, and I don't mean it, but my mother has not been to a game since. I would love for her to be able to go." I mean, it's just on and on and on. Sonia, "My mother passed on Valentine's Day 2018. She was my game day date for day games. I miss her tremendously every day. I would like to take my daughters to the game so we can recreate those memories and start another tradition in my mother's honor."
All right. Do we have to react to this?
How do I do this?
I think you got to go with Fred, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important part about this is the mother's actually got to go with the son to the game. No disrespect to the ones who's, because I think there were some good ones where, you know, he adopted or he got custody of a sister and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the experience has to be that the mother has to actually go to the game.
And then there's the stepmom, Nate.
Then there's other ones that don't live in Houston, and I feel like it might be hard to make the trip. So if you're asking me to vote, I'm going to vote for Fred because his mom was an umpire. And I feel like Fred and his mom going to the yard on a Sunday would be my vote. So I got to go with Fred.
I'm going to go with Fred, too. Yeah? I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, there are some good stories. And I mean, no disrespect by, I don't know. I mean, it's a
like,
tough
it's
spot
like
to
you,
be
you
in.
Gave a good example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going to rescue a dog and you want them all.
I just think that if she's not 100% into baseball, like I like the one who had the field named after her, but she's no longer here.
Yeah.
So I don't think she could enjoy it. But I think Fred and his mom going to the yard would be an enjoyable experience. And if you're not 100% into baseball, I think there's a big gap between people who love baseball and people who just, oh, it's okay, baseball. And I think Fred's mom, if she's umpiring, carrying around her gear and the whip, then I think Fred's mom
yeah.
and and him deserve it. And they might only need two tickets. Maybe you can give out two per, like Nelly, but Fred would be my vote.
713-572-4610. Texters coming in. The umpire mom.
She might need to get on the field.
She might honestly. Need, given what they were doing in New York. Oh, my gosh. It's interesting. I'll take all that into account. I'm going to send them out today.
Oh, you'll take it into account. Two out of three is not enough.
No, no, no. Well, I should say I'll do that. But I'll send them out today because obviously they need the planning for Sunday.
Yeah, there you go. You're going to send them out, like mail them?
I'm going to email them.
Oh, email them. Yeah, tickets. There you go. Yeah, it's easy. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610 Moms. And baseball here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, this is interesting. The top NFL insider in the country gets cross-examined by one of the best broadcasters ever about the Aaron Rodgers drama. Some intriguing stuff, and it leads to a lot of questions about the standoff we've been going through here in Houston with Deshaun Watson. You do not want to miss this next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 6.
Deshaun Watson standoff has been one of the main stories in Houston. Deshaun Watson wanted a trade at the start of the calendar year. There was really no dialogue, according to many, between the Texans and Deshaun Watson, and now Deshaun Watson, with everything that's gone on, has company when it comes to a standoff. Not the legal stuff, but a standoff. Aaron Rodgers also wants out. This is where it gets interesting, though, because Adam Schefter was the one who dropped the report at about 2 o'clock a week from yesterday on draft day. He was on with Dan Patrick, and if there's anything about Dan Patrick, it's that when you go on his show, he is going to push it. He is not going to coast. He is not going to just sit there and fill segments. He is going to ask questions, and he is going to press you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened Adam Schefter yesterday, and it leads to a lot of questions through localized lenses about this situation because it can be connected to Deshaun Watson and other questions that have emerged with this Watson standoff. Here was Adam Schefter with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show, first talking about why this was put out on draft night.
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packers story.
Yeah,
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game, just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you, throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
Okay. First of all, what is your takeaway? Because I have mine, but you've been in this business longer than I, and you were a guy who broke news in your heyday. When I hear this and he says it's not coming from the Packers, it's not coming from Aaron Rodgers, I naturally say he's lying and he's protecting his source and he's going over the top to say that. Because I just don't think that Adam Schefter, with the pedigree he has, is not at least talking to somebody in that organization and putting this out there. But it's not like he can go on the Dan Patrick Show and say, yeah, some of Aaron Rodgers' camp told me this and I decided to roll with it. Or, yeah, someone from the Packers front office told me this, so I decided to run with it. I think he's kind of backing himself into a corner. Is that what you're
reading? You are 100% right. I've been in this business. I've been in that position where you're on a beat, and I know how the sausage is made, so to speak. And this is what he's doing, in my view. He knows that if that story comes out in that moment, whether someone tells him to or not, so he might be telling the truth. I did this. Okay, I believe you. I believe that he did this on his own. On his absolute own, decided to do it on draft day. The question is, why did he do it? And I can tell you why. Because he knew, and a lot of us are like this, how does it benefit me down the road? I think what he's saying is the truth. I think he had this information. He could have done it the day before. He could have done it the week before. He could have done it a week after. The reason he did it that day is because down the road, reporting that day, even if no one told him to report it that day, helps him get the bigger story, which is Aaron Rodgers is going here. Aaron Rodgers is getting traded here. Aaron Rodgers is whatever. So I believe him, but I also know he's not being completely transparent here. He did it on that day for a reason. It wasn't an accident.
And I think, you go back to the Deshaun Watson situation. It was released right after the Caserio hire. So maybe that was calculated as well.
That's the best word.
Here's more with Dan Patrick and Adam Schefter talking about the timing of it. Okay, so you waited till draft day. You had all this information. You had all this stuff. Why on draft day? Here's Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show, one of the best broadcasters of all time, with one of the top NFL insiders currently going right now.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, there was nothing that morning that came in that all of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Okay. It didn't happen to be drafted.
Let's not be silly. And there's nothing wrong with when you put that out there. That was the perfect time to put it out there. But let's not act like it just happened to be draft day. Yeah. It was draft day. And that's why you put it out there.
Calculated, because how am I going to benefit with the bigger story down the road?
Here's more with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show with Adam Schefter about Aaron Rodgers, who's joined Deshaun Watson in the disgruntled franchise quarterback business. More banter between the two.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan. There's not a source.
No, no, I know, but I know that now, but we're just finding this out right now.
I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it, I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason. The Rams inquired in January. And again, that's an example. I knew when they were calling and they were quickly rebuffed. Yeah. Like, the conversation went nowhere, but they checked in early in January, and they were not the only team that checked in. So, by the way, Dan, why are these teams checking in?
Because he's available, or they're hearing he's available. Are they hearing it from the Packers, or are they hearing it from Aaron Rodgers? Because it has to come from one of those two, right?
Well, I'm just saying that there was a lot of speculation in league circles, however you want to characterize that. He was unhappy and wanted out. And then if you just, again, there were so many people that knew this. I think all I really did was shine a light on some of what had gone on. The fact that, Mark Murphy, the Packers president, had flown out to meet with him. The Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, had flown out to meet with him. Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur, had flown out to meet with him. They're all trying to plead with him to come back, explain to him why he should be in Green Bay. And by the way, it doesn't appear that any of them made any progress with him. This was all going on.
So that's a good enough source right there. Like, he's finding out that information from someone. So he's clearly protecting sources. There's always a popular topic about unnamed sources and should they be. I've heard a couple media types go on rants about it. That's the only way that you're going to get stories. You can't just throw your sources out. You, as a consumer, have to figure out who you trust. And although Adam Schefter's about to look foolish, I think this is a lesson of the balancing act of protecting sources and putting out information. I'm not even sure Adam Schefter should have put himself in this position to where he's answering these questions, but I consume enough information and I follow this close enough to know that if Adam Schefter says it, he's going to take it to, I'll take it to the bank. And if Adam Schefter says it, someone is telling him that he has information that these meetings are happening. It's not like he's just pulling that out of his butt.
And let's use some common sense here. You know this for a fact. You and Figgy know this for a fact. I've had stories here, and I don't, actively work a beat, but I still know so many people around the country and certainly in Houston that occasionally I come across a story that I report because I feel like it's necessary to report. I have sat on stories. You know this. because I only had one source. You have to get another source. You have to get two or three sources. You have to be able to follow up and make sure that one person is not just telling you something, you know, casually that is not altogether accurate. So when he says it's not coming from the Packers, it's not coming from Aaron Rodgers, he knows better. He knows that he has to go to the Packers. And, hey, this is what I'm hearing. He has to go to Aaron Rodgers. He's Adam Schefter, for God's sakes, you know? So that part, I said I believed what he said earlier. I don't believe that. You know, a reporter like Adam Schefter has to go to these guys and say, I know this. This is what I'm hearing from a third source or whatever. So that's altogether not true. I think he's kind of painted himself into a corner. And by the way, Dan Patrick, I mean, Rusty Harden's got nothing on him.
No, he's the man. And I think this is where it really gets good. Dan Patrick and Adam Schefter, little cross-examination. I think Texans fans can relate to this when it comes to Deshaun Watson. This is where you get the information, because he's trying to protect the sources. He's going out of his way to do so. I think the Watson camp, it's safe to say, was the main source of all the Watson reports. I know that for a fact. Like, that's right. that's just 100% fact. I can take that to the bank. But here's where you get the meat and you get the root of the problem from Adam Schefter. Talking about why Aaron Rodgers is pissed off at the Green Bay organization.
But what can we confirm, though, Adam? Does he want Brian Gutekunst fired, the GM? Can we confirm that?
I've never said that.
I'm just saying there's so much information out that other people have put out there. I don't know what has been confirmed. I mean, Rodgers hasn't said anything. I don't know that. But
let me say this. There's so much stuff that's floating around out there. Some of which is probably true, some of which probably isn't. We probably don't know the majority of the story. We know that he didn't like that they not only drafted Jordan Love, but didn't even tell him they were drafting Jordan Love. We know that he has issues with certain people, but we probably don't know a lot of the things that have really pissed him off.
Yeah, I mean, and that part right there is more or less, okay, how did they get here? You know, what are they doing at this point? But Dan Patrick is truly, he's pressing him the right way. And it's kind of fascinating watching Adam Schefter on the other side of these interviews, too.
Yeah, he's getting a little bit tense. Here's some more with Adam Schefter and Dan Patrick talking about, do you know? Do you know for a fact that Aaron Rodgers wants out? This is where Dan Patrick really pushes an NFL insider's back against the wall.
Well, I know, I believe, do I know? Yeah, I know he wants, yeah, I believe, do I know he wants out? What do we know, fully know? I have been told that he does not want to be there by many people, okay?
Yeah.
So you, whatever that means, he doesn't want to be there.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to separate fact from fiction, rumor from innuendo, and that's why I go to the source. That's why I wanted to have you on, because it started with you. Now, did I hear about the Rams thing later? Yes, I did. I wondered about the Niners if you gave them a do-over. Don't trade those draft picks to the Dolphins, and you can have those draft picks. Would the Packers have entertained a trade like that? No,
I don't believe they would have.
Okay,
you know, Kyle Shanahan called Matt LaFleur that night to feel it out to see whether the Niners should make a run. As these men have documented, quickly was able to ascertain that the Packers had, at that time, no interest in dealing Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And so the talks never went anywhere, just as they never went anywhere with the Los Angeles Rams. But then we're now in early May, and the Packers have held firm to their stance.
Okay, so they've held firm. Adam Schefter, Dan Patrick. 1140, this is where I think we can really relate to it around here. The explanation to fans. This is where they have a back and forth debate. Again, this isn't a report. This is just a disagreement that I think we've had with the Deshaun Watson thing. But it's very clear Aaron Rodgers wants out. It's very clear Adam Schefter has information to back that up. And it's very clear he just does not want to give up his sources, which is really the danger zone. On the text line, a lot of loopholes are saying that reminds them of McLean's weekly visit, 10:40 on Tuesday, presented by Horn Solutions.
There's always an ulterior motive, man. I mean, and it's not shady. It's business. It's how you do business when you're an elite reporter like Adam Schefter. He did it for a reason that day. He's protecting those guys for a reason on both sides that day. He's going to be dealing with the Packers for 1, 5, 10, 20 years from now.
Well, I know. I believe.
I have no idea.
Do I know? Yeah, I know he wants. Yeah,
no idea.
I believe. Do I know he wants out?
He could. I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I have no clue.
Schefter basically got on In the Loop. That's the McClain thing. You have to push these guys. You can't just sit there and coast. And that's why Dan Patrick's one of the best at what he does. And that's why I think Aaron Rodgers is on his way out. It's just a matter of where, and it's just a matter of when. But he clearly wants it. This wasn't like Adam Schefter knows. I mean, he's saying he doesn't. There is no source. But then he's saying Kyle Shanahan called. He's saying that they multiple guys from the Packers organization.
This stuff doesn't fall out of trees, like, man.
Obviously, he's protecting it, but it's obvious someone's telling him that they don't.
Yeah.
Some guys will just, you know, throw darts and hope it sticks. Adam Schefter's not one of those guys. I think we can relate to it here in Houston, although we know the source for most of these.
It's tough
sitting
on a story, man.
This one,
it's tough.
And this one is 100% here is Watson's camp. The Texans to me, I think the way the Packers front office has handled it compared to the Texans, I think it's actually better. They talk about they've met with Aaron Rodgers. They talk about Aaron Rodgers isn't happy. Texans almost go too far to be silent, and I think it almost kind of backfires on them. You know, Deshaun's our quarterback. They could have easily just said, yeah, we met with them. We had a conversation. We're going to keep those private, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
we'll see. That's Adam Schefter and Dan Patrick. 1140, the most interesting part of that. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Some intrigue next week. It is a big week for the Texans. And we will have a clear layout of the entertainment value of the 2021 schedule. Let's anticipate one of the funnest days of the year next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.